Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and we are continuing a study through the prophecies in the book of Daniel. And today we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 2, which records the vision that was given to King Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel alone was able to interpret. One of the things about the interpretation that Daniel gives, I love what he says in verse 30 of chapter 2, the humility of this prophet. He says, "But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart." So Daniel says, it's not because I was wiser than anybody else, but because God is communicating these truths to us. Then in verse 31 through 35, Daniel's going to review the vision. He says, "You, O king, were watching, and behold, a great image whose splendor was excellent stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." And so actually what this vision is going to relate to is the fact that God is going to establish his kingdom that would fill the entire earth. And that would be the kingdom that would be lasting and the eternal one. So the focus is primarily on the sovereignty of God, that he allows kingdoms to rise up, and he is the one that sets their boundaries. He's the one that brings them to an end and then allows another kingdom to be raised up. God is the sovereign one that's in control. That's the primary focus here of this vision, that God is the one that establishes a kingdom which will not come to an end. When Paul was ministering to those in Athens in Acts chapter 17, which records the sermon, he brings this point up that God is the one that is sovereign and in control of the nations. In Acts 17, 25 through 28, it reads this way, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth," and listen to this part, "and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." So in verse 26, it's very clear that Paul says that God is the one that establishes the boundaries of the nations as well as the times appointed for them to exist. And that's what we see primarily here in Daniel chapter 2. And secondarily, we also see that this prophecy relates to a nation that'll rise up that's even in our future at this point as we read the book of Daniel, that'll come together, that God will eventually destroy and then establish his kingdom. Then in verses 36 through 45, Daniel then gives the interpretation of this vision. We'll interpret it as we go along. Verse 36 says, "This is a dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold." So Daniel is going to take this image with the different metals and describe how each different metal represents a kingdom that will rule over the world, as well as primarily affect in one way or another the nation of Israel. That will be in the territory of Israel, which will also be a dominant power. And he starts with the head of gold, and he says, "You, O king, are this head of gold." So we're told that this head of gold is a representation of the nation of Babylon. And Babylon ruled from 626 to 536 B.C., so it's a kingdom that God allowed to be raised up but had an appointed time to come to an end. Then as Daniel's going to look at these other metals that are in this image, you're going to relate to other empires that have risen up that God has allowed to rule for a time. Verse 39 says, "But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours." And we see historically that the Medo-Persian Empire conquered Babylon in 536 B.C. and lasted until 330 B.C. It was the Medes and the Persians, two nations gathered together to form an empire to be able to defeat the Babylonian Empire. And the Lord allowed them to exist as a nation for a time. It was one that was inferior to Babylon. Babylon has actually influenced the known world, even to this day, in the area of mathematics, in the area of science, and unfortunately in the area of religion as well. But it was inferior to the Babylonian Empire. Then also in verse 39, it says, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over the earth. This third world power that God allowed to rise up was the Greek Empire. As we know, primarily the main leader was Alexander the Great. And this empire ruled from 330 BC to 65 BC. So we're getting closer to the time of Christ and the empire that would exist when the Messiah would come. And this Greek Empire was also not the empire that would last forever. In verse 40, it's going to speak about the fourth empire. It says, and the fourth empire shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. And we see historically that this is a reference to Rome. The Roman Empire started in 65 BC. And then important to our point in the study of the Bible was also the empire that existed in the time that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, showed up on the scene. More detail is added in verse 41. It says, whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And this kingdom being divided may be a reference to the fact that in 364 AD, the empire split into two, an east and a west. The eastern part took Constantinople as its capital, and the west continued to have Rome as their capital. The western portion of the empire was conquered in 476, and the east, which came under the term the Byzantine Empire, was eventually conquered by the Turks. So it divided as seen in verse 41. Verse 42 gives us more detail. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, this is the important phrase, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So the Lord says, in the day when there's an empire that is partly fragile and partly strong, not adhering to one another, that has these kings, plural, that's when God is going to set up his eternal kingdom that'll last forever. And verse 45 goes on to say, inasmuch as you saw that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to you, the king, what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So here it says this stone actually represents something that comes from God. It's not a man-made empire, but it's actually going to be from God, and he's going to establish a kingdom. Now, this is where there's great controversy within the church as to the stone that's cut out of hands. When did this actually take place? Most, if not all, interpreters of the Bible would agree that the stone that comes out of heaven is a prophecy about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will establish his kingdom. But there's two primary viewpoints within the Church of Jesus Christ today as to when this would actually take place. Those that are amillennial in their theology believe that this is a prediction of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And they would see that the Lord established his kingdom through his death, burial, and resurrection and brought the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, at that point. And that we're now presently in the millennium. Those that are amillennial believe that the church has replaced Israel as the people of God. And they don't believe that there will be an actual literal thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And that's what the term millennium means, a thousand-year reign of Christ, as seen in the book of Revelation chapter 20. This group does not believe that Jesus Christ will come back and there will be an earthly thousand-year reign of Christ. And so they see this as a prediction that in the time of the Roman Empire, which Jesus Christ came during that time, is when the kingdom was established. Those that are premillennial believe that this is actually a reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ and that he's going to establish his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years when he comes back the second time. And then ultimately that millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign, will turn into the new heavens and the new earth. So in our next study, we'll explore these two interpretations of Daniel chapter 2, the amillennial position as well as the premillennial position. So join us in our next study as we continue through the prophecies of the book of Daniel.